Once there was a civilization, much like ours, but with a greater intelligence, greater powers, and a greater capacity for good.
Even though you've been raised as a human being, you are not one of them.
Well, hello, folks. Welcome back to the Light of Day, hour number two on the Orion Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Sheldon Day. We're live Saturday night, September 18th, 2010. We hopefully still have John DiNardo on the line. We were covering the topic of the San Bruno explosion that happened a week ago, and me and John personally believe, think, and feel that this is ultimately being caused by the inbound passage of the destroyer star, the so-called cosmic event, as Lucas would like to refer to it as. And, you know, a lot of people don't want to listen to folks like me and John. I think John has the best theory out there so far as to what really happened in San Bruno. And, you know, we get these other folks out there that say, oh, you shouldn't associate yourself with John DiNardo. He's formerly with a company that's now called Lucent Technologies, or you're not doing your own research, Sheldon, you're just repeating what everybody else is saying. Well, folks, I haven't been in the military, and I'm not a religious person, and I can figure this stuff out. I really think there's something to it. Anyway, we were also covering these severe storms that hit up in the northeast. 109-mile-an-hour winds ripped through New York City, and John here, he actually refers to these straight-line wind gusts as Planet X winds. That's a pretty neat name. Anyway, John, you still there?
Yes, I am, Sheldon.
Yeah, hey, go ahead.
Okay, now I wanted just to finish up on the San Bruno event, because it's so important that people get organized across the country. The reason is that there will be more San Brunos occurring, and people will just lament when it happens and cry and moan and memorialize the victims, and then go on to the next news story, and they'll forget all about it. And then another San Bruno will occur, and another, and people will just be cremated in their homes. I myself am a potential victim. I live near an earthquake, very notorious earthquake fault called the Ramapo Fault, which runs north and south through northern New Jersey into New York State. And we've had earthquakes here before. Actually, I should say very small ones. One of them rattled the windows in my house. And the same thing could happen here as happened in San Bruno. That is, we have underground gas mains and water mains. They are becoming losing support. They're becoming impacted and traumatized by these vibrations. Every once in a while, we get a huge, a very loud boom. It sounds like a sonic boom. Oklahoma. And it sounds like it's an earthwide boom. And that is it's definitely an earthquake. In fact, we've had some that were recorded, booms that were recorded in the news later on as having been earthquakes. Well, let me tell you what some of the residents of San Bruno said. I have this on the Weather Channel. I did not record it, but it's on their records on the day after San Bruno, and within a few days after it, they had three residents of San Bruno that I recall on the Weather Channel. One of them said there was a loud boom a second before the gas explosion. Another one said my windows vibrated, the windows of my house vibrated a second before the explosion. And another one said that there was a shuddering, and a second before the explosion. So all these reported what is apparently very common signs of an earthquake. Now this earthquake could have been happened, you know, as I say, it's reported to have happened by somebody who was a resident who was watching a soccer game. They reported it at 6:14 p.m. Their watch could have been off a little bit. Another very strong possibility is that the actual explosion occurred as a result of an aftershock. All these earthquakes always have, or usually have, aftershocks. Getting back to the size of the earthquake was recorded by the U.S. Geological Survey, and I saved the webpage. I think they might have taken it down. Somebody had mentioned that they took it down. I saw one of the blogs, but we have to check and see if that webpage from the USGS is still up that shows the map of that region of California where the earth.
Hey, John.
Yes.
I wanted to interject by stating that I did your USGS map. I did a screenshot capture of that just in case they were to take it down. And also, we want our folks to know that the depth of that earthquake was 0 kilometers deep, so it was a very shallow earthquake.
Really? 0 kilometers? Wow. Well, I mean,
yeah.
It was. Think about it. You have these two huge plates, the Pacific Plate and the North American Plate, rubbing against one another. And the plates, you know, go right up almost to the surface of the ground, so I guess it would be logical that it would be very shallow. I saved that page too. I made a copy of it in case they took it down. Now they recorded on this that it occurred at 6:11 p.m. and of course the earthquake, the explosion was reported to occur 6:14. So there you go. I mean, it's very close. You have a coincidence of both time and place. The point of the earthquake, according to the U.S. Geological Survey map, was right on the San Andreas Fault, exactly laterally level with the town of San Bruno. And it appeared to me, if I try to do a map distance measurement on the map, it appeared to be the San Andreas Fault and that particular earthquake point on the San Andreas Fault appeared to be less than a mile from San Bruno. So there you go.
Hey, John.
Statistically, you cannot dispute the idea that you have coincidence of both time and place. So that's what caused it, and that's what's going to cause more of these. Yes.
Well, I'm just eagerly anticipating your comments as to why do you think they have to cover this up? Why are they doing that?
They always cover up these disasters. Money is one of the main reasons. And also, money is the ultimate reason, and control of the people. When they find out that they have to, that these earthquakes are going to be causing more breaking, more gas mains to break, and more water mains to break across the country, they realize they're going to have to invest billions of dollars to protect against it, to set up the kind of sensors that I'm talking about. It's common sense to have this kind of electronic detection system set up where you detect the movement, shifting of the earth, not only earthquakes, but you have to detect shifting of the earth beneath the gas main. That's also going to cause breakage. We have numerous reports of water main breaks in northern New Jersey. I did a whole report on that just recently, and I'm glad I kept it. I just emailed it to many people. That's a well.
We'll be back, folks. Stay tuned. Hello, folks. Welcome back to the Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live on Orion, Saturday night, September 18th, 2010. Well, we got about, about 8 to 9 minutes until the next break kicks in. Before the break kicked in, John was expounding upon why they don't want the people to learn what really happened in San Bruno, and he was explaining that it's because they'd have to spend too much money and they'd lose control over the masses. But wouldn't you also agree, John, that they wouldn't want the smart researchers out there to figure out that the Death Star is indeed really inbound?
Oh, yes. That's the Death Star. That is the brown dwarf star, which the government calls it the brown dwarf star. This comes right from the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. Before they were muzzled, they said that this object, they never got to say that it was incoming because they were muzzled, but they said that this object is probably a brown dwarf star, and size of, by definition, they come in many different sizes, these brown dwarf stars. But if we look at it conservatively and consider this to be underplay its size by considering it to be one of the puny types of brown dwarf stars, then its mass would be about 3 times the mass of Jupiter. Now, the mass of Jupiter is 318 Earth masses. 318 Earth masses is the mass of Jupiter. So a puny round dwarf star having a mass of 3 times Jupiter's mass would be about 1,000 Earth masses. You can imagine then the gravitational force that this body would exert upon other celestial bodies, even bodies millions of miles away. As we know, gravitational force of attraction is directly proportional to the mass of one body times the mass of the other body attracting it. So what will happen as this brown dwarf star is being attracted to the sun. Now, this Planet X, it's been called Planet X by the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, but they did not originate the name. The name was originated by a famous astronomer named Percival Lowell back in 1900 when he built the Lowell Observatory in Arizona.
And you know what, John?
Yes.
The astronomers are the ones that have more credibility than NASA, by the way.
Well, yeah, nowadays they do, because NASA is being muzzled. They're being prohibited from speaking. In fact, NASA's charter states that their information will be kept secret. Any scientists or any personnel who work at NASA are required to sign a contract with NASA stating that they will keep their information secret. And this is what we're doing. We're paying, it's outrageous and criminal that we, the people, are paying this organization to work against us, to keep secrets from us that are deadly, that are destructive to our, the secrecy is destructive to the well-being of the people. When I say destructive, I mean literally people are going to die in large numbers.
Hey, John.
This is the greatest case of genocide I can imagine. So people have to get organized right now. And that's what I'm urging people to do, to get into, to start, come out of the grandstands and start coming onto the playing field. We've got to attract people on these issues. The issue of the gas main explosions that will be occurring more frequently as a result of the gravitational forces being exerted on planet Earth and all the other planets by this incoming brown dwarf star. We're going to see more geological upheavals, which are going to lead to many, many millions of deaths.
Gravitational and electromagnetic fields, yeah. I also wanted to inject by stating that not only is NASA under that secrecy oath, but also, you know, we've heard Jim McCaney also state that the professional astronomical community is also under orders not to report on impending catastrophes to the public.
That's a, yeah, that's a good point. It's amazing how silent, the silence is deafening, as they say, from the scientific community. Why is it that me, I'm not even an astronomer, I'm not even a geologist, why is it that I was the only one that I know of? Maybe someone wrote papers on this particular phenomenon that I'm about to explain to you, but I don't think so. I think I was the only one to speculate, to come up with a credible hypothesis, which now is proving true, as to why the sun went from a state of hyperactivity all through this decade up until around 2008, and then suddenly the sun switched off like a light bulb, like switching off a light bulb for a period of time, and everybody said, oh wow, this is great, now the sun has stopped its fretful hyperactivity. However, I knew it was temporary, and my idea was that Planet X, because it is electrical, it has it's drenched in electrical plasma, that is plasma which is blown out by the solar winds, and this is electrified gas, it's blown out by the solar winds, and it reaches the outer bounds of the solar system, well, way, way beyond Pluto, in fact, and it forms a huge sphere which encircles the entire solar system. This plasma sphere, electrified gases, then this acts as a barrier to gamma ray bursts that come in from deep space that would otherwise harm our planets. These gamma ray bursts are very powerful and damaging, and this heliosphere blocks it. Now, when Planet X comes in from deep space, because it's being attracted by our sun again, remember, Planet X is probably at least about 1,000 Earth masses, but our sun is 330,000 Earth masses. So our sun is a third of a million Earth masses. So the sun is much, much bigger than Planet X. Therefore, Planet X is being attracted, being pulled in to our sun like a magnet, like a powerful magnet would pull in a piece of iron, would suck it right in. And the closer Planet X comes in, this brown dwarf star, the greater the gravitational force of attraction is. In fact, it's an exponential increase as it gets closer and closer. The gravitational pull between the two bodies increases exponentially.
Hey, John.
So when it comes in, it gets drenched with plasma. As a result, now you have this plasma-drenched massive body, and we know from physics, a basic principle of electricity and magnetism is that electric charge in motion generates a magnetic field, which billows out in all...
We'll be back, folks. Stay tuned.
Path.
Folks, welcome back to the Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live on Orion Saturday night, September 18th, 2010. That bumper there was actually taken off of one of Anthony J. Hilder's DVDs called Illuminati 911. I'm pretty sure that's where I got that off of. But anyway, we got John DiNardo on the line here. I did want folks to... know that if you go to my homepage, thelightofdayradioshow.com, I have a big picture of John posted there, and there's three links. One link's on top of his picture. You can check that out. It's called No More Brunos, and it takes you to his Facebook page that he created on that. And if you go below his picture, it shows a red alert here, and the other one says newer. September 13th update here. That pretty much just sums up what happened in San Bruno. Now, John, what kind of people are we trying to recruit to join this Facebook thing?
Well, anybody actually who can help to find firefighters across the country. If we get this information out to firefighters and emergency medical personnel, those are the kind of people who are really involved in these catastrophes.
What about the gas companies?
We first have to get the firefighters and the emergency medical personnel to become activists and to realize realize two things. One, that these San Bruno explosions will occur more frequently around the country. And these firefighters are going to be involved in trying to stop these horrific disasters. And these firefighters, some of them are going to be killed, as well as many other residents of neighborhoods where these explosions will occur. So the firefighters are the ones who are going to work most diligently and energetically to force the companies and the government to put sensors in under the ground. We can't do it ourselves. We need scientists. We need their money to do it. It's going to come out of our pockets, of course, but we've got to sense these things and prevent them before they occur. Once the underground distress, stress, or vibrations are sensed, they would feed back a signal electronically. It would be transmitted to electronic systems that would automatically shut off the valves and cut off the flow of gas through the main, so that an explosion would be prevented. This, likewise with water mains, the water flow would be shut off when ground stresses or pipe stresses are detected. This is what has to be done. I'm a former electrical engineer and electronic circuit designer. I worked in this type of equipment during a major portion of my career, so I understand that we have the technology to do this, and I understand what needs to be done. So we have to get firefighters enthusiastic about this, enthused, because their lives are on the line and the lives of many helpless victims, unwitting victims are on the line. People, Those people in San Bruno were incinerated in an instant. They were in their homes, and in 1 second they were turned into a fireball. They had no chance to escape. This could happen in the middle of the night while you're sleeping. A fireball erupts, and in 1 second, before you even get a chance to wake up, you become charcoal. We have to get the people out of the grandstands and onto the playing field. So please go to No More San Brunos on Facebook.com. No More San Brunos. That's a group I formed so we can get firefighters there and start talking about this. I'll be posted my information as to what can be done. So this is not just an alarm. It is positive, constructive ideas on how to prevent the San Bruno explosions. Also, we have water main breaks. I did a whole report just before the San Bruno disaster occurred, about 2 weeks before that. I did a report documenting numerous water main breaks in northern New Jersey, here where I live. This is just one small part of the country, and yet this one report, which I still have documented, I think Sheldon has it on his website, and I can send it out to other people, showed that it was within a span of a couple months, that during the summer of this year, there have been many water main breaks. One of them was sort of catastrophic, which caused, and this was the news media didn't know how to deceive the public. So because it was such an apparent connection, it was 6 water main breaks that occurred in one region, one small area, 6 water main breaks. And they didn't know how to cover it up or to take the public's eye away from this clearly strange event. So they said, well, the first water main break triggered the other 5 water main breaks. Now think about that. How could that happen? One water main breaks, the pressure drops, pressure decreases greatly. Why would a pressure decrease cause the water mains to break? It would be a pressure increase, you would think, right? Not a pressure decrease. So that was just a silly, foolish, thoughtless deception that was put out by the media. And of course it wasn't the media, it was the people in power who give the information, the water companies, and they make up some kind of excuse to distract the public's attention from the fact that you have 6 breaks altogether. Evidently there's something happening under the ground that's causing 6 water main breaks in one small locale. That's obvious. They wouldn't tell us that, though. So I went and did some more studying. I found many others in this whole northern New Jersey area. In fact, in one isolated area of northern New Jersey. So this is occurring because we have sinkholes. Now, how does that connect to Planet X, this huge brown dwarf star that's coming closer and closer to our sun and is ready to pass planet Earth as on its way to the sun? Well, this Planet X is drenched in plasma that it picks up from the heliosphere surrounding the solar system. When it penetrated the outer bounds of the solar system, it picked up all this plasma. This plasma is very sticky, electrically sticky, not physically sticky. It's like those styrofoam packing popcorn or peanuts that you see in a box whenever you get a box. A package shipped to you, they use the styrofoam, and when you stick your hand in to get the package, all these white styrofoam packing peanuts stick to your hands and to your clothing, and you have to shake your arms just to get them off of you. They stick to you tenaciously. Well, that's electric charge, that's static charge. Likewise, Planet X is engulfed, saturated with this static plasma, electric charge, and electric bodies in motion, according to the principles of electricity and magnetism that you can find in any physics textbook, it shows that electric charge in motion creates an electromagnetic field. It generates an electromagnetic field that billows out, encircling the path of that moving charge. Well, Planet X is a huge, massive moving charge body, so it creates a huge billowing and circling electromagnetic field all along its path, just like a chemtrail would be billowing out from the path of an airplane in the sky. This electromagnetic field billows out, and it's invisible force field cuts through planet Earth and the other planets, which it's doing right now, and those magnetic lines are just like a microwave oven. The electromagnetic field that's generated in your microwave oven heats up the water in the food. And likewise, these electromagnetic lines of force field, this force field from this moving plasma-charged body, cut through Earth, heat up Earth's molten iron core. When Earth's molten iron core gets heated up, then the magma surrounding the core, that is the layer, thick layer of molten rock, which surrounds the core outward from the core and is closer to the surface. All this molten rock starts getting hot because the molten iron.
We'll be back, folks. Stay tuned.
Getting heated up.
Welcome back to the Light of Day. This is Sheldon Day. We're live on Orion Saturday night, September 18th, 2010, documenting the last days of the world as we know it. We got John DiNardo on the line. I can't remember what he was talking about before the break, but hey, John, I got an email from somebody here during my show tonight. His name is Mike, and he said he never... He checks out my archives, but he doesn't listen to my show live, and then he says, well, the Earth did not stop turning. What do you say to people like that?
Well, whoever said the Earth has stopped turning, it has not stopped turning, but it will stop eventually when this huge gravitationally attracting body gets close enough to it, like a huge giant hand would stop the spinning top. The spinning top is planet Earth, and by basic laws of physics, which you can find in any college physics textbook, when a rotating body there's a force applied to a rotating body, just like the hand of a child the palm of a hand of a child would go up against the side of a spinning top, that top will slow down because the force is slowing down its rotational speed. That's what happens at a distance when a huge gravitational body comes close to planet Earth. It will cause planet Earth to slow its rotational speed. And so that's what will happen. That has not happened yet. But anyway, getting back to this, what's happening is that there is a loss, an apparent loss of ground support within the crust of the Earth all over the world. That is, on land and under the seabeds, there is an increasing loss of ground support underneath the crust, within the crust of the Earth. And it goes back to what I was explaining before, that electromagnetic fields, force fields from this moving body, which generates electromagnetic fields because it's an electric charge in motion. Those fields are like a microwave oven heating up the iron core of the Earth. Iron is a wonderful conductor of electromagnetic fields. And so the core of the Earth now, I'm going to give you an analogy. The molten iron core is like the gas burner on your gas range. And you have a pot of stew, some thick food, for example, tapioca pudding or chocolate pudding. during the end of its cooking cycle, the pudding gets very thick. And when it gets thick, all of a sudden you'll see this plopping coming up. You'll see air, steam columns, tiny thin steam tubules rising up and plopping at the top. I think everyone has seen this, especially people who have done some cooking of pudding or stew or whatever. It's the heat from the gas that causes any moisture to rise upward in a column, just like a lava lamp. A lava lamp is another example of what happens to planet Earth, because if the core is heating up, it's causing the magma, which is surrounding the core and outward from the core, to heat up, and the magma then creates lava. Within the magma are lava columns, magma columns, I should say. Just like a lava lamp that children have in their bedroom. This pool of lava sits at the base of the lamp, and you turn on the light, the heat from the light causes the lava to rise up in a tubular column to the very surface of the lamp. That's what's happening to the surface of the Earth, this magma plumes, they're called in geology. These magma plumes are rising up due to the heating of the Earth's core, which is caused by this passing magnetic field from planet X. And now we're having a loss of support underneath the crust of the Earth. This is causing sinkholes. Dirt is falling down, coming down. Caverns are being created underneath. Caverns, cavities underneath gas mains. Cavities underneath water mains. Then now, as a result, you have no support. You have a loss of support underneath these gas pipes and water pipes, and you have tremendous pressure causing these pipes to shear and break. So look for more of this. Look for more methane coming out of the Earth. We're seeing many, many cases of methane coming out of the Earth. Some of it is from gas pipes. Incidentally, all these reports that you get, please, folks, look for them. Methane rising out of the Earth. These could be cracked gas pipes, setting up the same kind of eventuality that we have in San Bruno, where first there was a smell of methane, of gas coming from the ground.
Hey, John.
It was due to a cracked pipe, and then all of a sudden you have an explosion. These have to be detected before people are incinerated. Yes. Go ahead.
You're talking about the methane. Remember that link I sent you the other day about this? It came off the CNN website about this this water well in some eastern state where he was showing to the CNN reporter how he could light his water well on fire. Did you see that?
Yes, I heard that. And also, there was a similar case where people turned on their water faucet in their house and flames came out. That was methane. Now, actually, there is a distinction. Methane is a natural gas that comes out of the ground. But the gas that comes from your gas main, well, that's natural gas too, but it's supplied by the gas company. They put a target smell, a sensor, I forget what they call it, tag smell on it, an odor, so that you can really detect the gas. It's a safety measure. That's why, there's a difference there between that and the methane. So methane could be just from natural eruptions that are coming underneath the seabed or underneath the land masses of the Earth, of gases. Again, we go back to the picture or the analogy of cooking pudding on your stove in a big pot. You'll see these plumes of vapor coming up and plopping up to the surface. Methane likewise comes up through the magma plumes in the Earth from the Earth's molten iron core through the outward and overlaying magma, which is molten rock, and it comes up and it also delivers gases to the top as well as hot molten magma. Gases then begin to burst upward through the crust of the Earth is sort of like the skin. Did you ever make pudding and let it cool for a while, and then after it cools, a skin will form on the surface of the pudding? Well, that skin is similar to the crust of the Earth, and these plopping gases that come up from the ground, through the mantle of the Earth. These gases are coming up in various places around the world, both on land surfaces and under seabeds. So, for example, the Gulf of Mexico, this is what we have in actuality. The Gulf of Mexico oil spill is really not a man-made accident. This is the result of these rising mantle plumes of magma pushing up, causing the seabed of the Gulf of Mexico to burst, bursting up methane gas and also oil. We saw the coloration of this effluent coming from the Gulf of Mexico. It was reddish. That's the color of iron, molten iron, iron from the molten iron core of the Earth coming up through the mantle, which is this overlaying layer of molten rock, up to the surface, and that's what's happening. Yes.
Well, I found that article off CNN from 5 days ago. It's happening in Pennsylvania. It says, the article says, residents say water is full of methane. Their water is so contaminated they can light it on fire. Many blame a natural gas drilling method known as fracking.
Yeah, well, this is another phenomenon we're going to be seeing more and more frequently. That's why people have to start getting involved. You can no longer afford to be a spectator. We all have to get involved and to try to warn people and come up with ideas as to how we can protect ourselves from these myriad disasters that are occurring now. The Gulf of Mexico, I believe, I'm sure, we will see land masses rising out of the Gulf of Mexico, incredible as it may seem. The reason I'm sure is because a friend of mine, a friend that I have, his name is Mark. He lives here in northern New Jersey. He has a friend who works as a geologist for the U.S. Geological Survey. And this geologist friend told him, and he told me, 3 to 4 years ago. That's an important point to remember. This I heard 3 to 4 years ago from this, by way of Mark, through this geologist, that they expect land masses to arise out of the Gulf of Mexico. And another thing he said, that they were exploring for great, surveying for great oil drilling opportunities in the Gulf of Mexico. But they do.
We'll have to leave it at that. We're out of time, John.
The Gulf of Mexico. And that's exactly why I predict it's going to happen, because we got it from a good source.